claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Hope you're having a great yesterday, actually, is Father's Day. I guess today is this Juneteenth thing, which sounds a little crazy, a little screwball to me, but there it is. Let me just say, I had a sensational conversation on Saturday with Harrison Hanks. He's the fellow who did a send-up of Crisis Actors. I even embedded it in the show. You can find it on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. I think this is a good one to share far and wide. So if you know anyone who has the least interest in false flags, conspiracies, Crisis Actors, I think this is let's call it a Jim Dandy, a really good one. BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Harrison Hanks on false flags and crisis actors. We covered a fair amount of territory, runs about less than 90 minutes. I think the guy is sensational. I'm also, by the way, ecstatic with a couple of developments here. Russia says 50 senior officers of Kiev forces were killed in a caliber missile strike. This is pretty fascinating. Russian warships are striking command center Kiev forces with caliber cruise missiles, killing dozens of officers, including generals and members of the high command. The Russian Ministry of Defense announced on June 19th. More than 50 generals and officers of the Ukrainian armed forces were killed. This is reminiscent of when Saddam Hussein, his two sons, and 50 or 60 members of his general staff were taken out in a B-1 bomber strike on a restaurant on the outskirts of Baghdad on April 7th of 2003, just about 3 weeks into the Iraq invasion. I was contacted by the mother of the pilot, who was telling me how much nonsense was going on, about the putting Saddam on trial and all that, because he was already dead. In fact, it's fascinating. Even the New York Times quoted Dick Cheney as saying that his lifeless body was dragged out of the rubble. So it was going to be celebrated on the mission accomplished event on the USS Lincoln off the coast of San Diego when someone, and we suspect it may have been Donald Rumsfeld, recognized that there are executive orders from three presidents, Carter, Reagan, and Ford, against the assassination of the head of a foreign nation. So since that's precisely what had happened here, they decided to suppress it. They put one of Saddam's body doubles they claimed to have got him out of a spider hole. I doubt he was even ever in it. But Joe Viles, who is a photojournalist from Australia, was the first to notice that this didn't appear to be the real Saddam, because the real Saddam had excellent teeth and overbite, meaning his upper teeth extend beyond his lower, whereas the guy they brought out of the rabbit hole, as it were, had bad teeth and an underbite. It was not Saddam. This thing about teeth is significant too with regard to the Paul Fall controversy, because Paul McCartney had bad teeth and a narrow palate, whereas Fall, his replacement, Billy Shears, William Shepherd, has good teeth and a normal palate. He's also about 4 inches taller than Paul. How anyone can continue to this day to believe they're one and the same is beyond me. Both the Saddam case and the Paul Fall are addressed in what's my favorite of all these books I've edited, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, in a second edition, which also includes how Obama faked the raid on the compound in Pakistan because Osama bin Laden had already died on 15 December 2001 from his medical maladies. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. And was in fact actually a member of the CIA, which led me to think shortly before coming on the show about how, you know, Russia here taking out more than 50 generals. Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi, was one of the most underrated figures in all of world history, who created virtually perhaps the most humane society ever realized on the face of Earth, by using the oil revenues of Libya to benefit the people of Libya. Surprise, surprise. I mean, look at this Biden guy sending billions over to Ukraine. I mean, nothing for the American people. Well, Gaddafi, God, if only we had him as president instead of Biden, we'd be a hell of a lot better off. Because Gaddafi actually cared about the people of Libya, the people of his nation. And he gave them national health care, free education. Newly married couples got like a $25,000 bonus to start their families. He was introducing the Great Waterworks, which would have turned the north of Africa into a veritable oasis, and introducing the gold dinar, which would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa. Well, the French weren't happy. They wanted to keep Africa as a neo-colonial preserve, and the Rothschild banking empire wasn't happy because the gold dinar threatened their ability to make an advance with the Muslim countries. And the reason they've been had trouble with Muslim countries is that in Islam, usury, making money off of money, namely interest, is forbidden. In Islam, you're not allowed to make money off of money. That's some have described, by the way, you'll find this, look it up, that compound interest, you know, making interest off of interest, is one of the greatest evils ever designed by the hand of man. Well, I mentioned Gaddafi because he suggested if you want to stop international terrorism, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London, which is at 1 square mile. It's an independent entity in the very heart of London, the broader city, where I visited 7 times and have in the past regard London as my favorite of all cities. I've been quite a few, but there are many not. My wife, for example, has been to St. Petersburg, where I have never visited, and to Rome, where I've not set foot. And, you know, those are both extolled as marvelous cities. I've certainly been to San Francisco pre-Pelosi, where now it's Dung City. You can hardly make a step anywhere in San Francisco and not step on human feces or needles. They're everywhere. And I'm just ecstatic that this progressive DA was given a boot by San Francisco in this last round of elections. San Francisco is like 95% registered Democrats. And that they booted this guy is a very good sign, just like the Russians taking out 50 generals and officers of the Ukrainian armed forces is a good sign. The pinpoint strike took place near the village of Shirokaya Dasha in the Dobrovik, I cannot pronounce Ukrainian words to save my soul, Oblast. The ministry said that the caliber cruise missile hit the command center where those of several units had gathered for a meeting. That they were also used to destroy 10 M777 howitzers and at least 20 armored vehicles recently delivered from the West. That's what's happening. We're pouring all these weapons in, but the Russians know what the hell is going on. They have excellent intel, and they're just taking them out. A video released by the ministry showed the launch of four of these caliber cruise missiles from a frigate in the Russians' Black Sea fleet, where it has a range of 1,500 to 2,500 kilometers. The missile's guidance system is built around an internal navigational system and satellite guidance. It has a top speed of Mach 2.9, can fly as low as 20 meters above the water, 50 meters above ground. Pretty impressive missile. The Russian military has stepped up its strikes on Ukraine the last few days. As a result, Kiev forces sustained heavy losses in personnel and equipment. I think some of us believe that Russia may have been too gentle with the Ukrainian forces in the beginning, but of course they were trying to protect the Ukrainian people. I mean, any stories you hear about, you know, mass rapes, murders, all that, it's just bullshit. Or it's true, but not of Russian troops, but of Ukrainian. The Azov Battalion, for example, has committed lots of atrocities. Well, here's another super good development. Macron shocked as Le Pen's party makes huge gains. The National Rally Party has gone from 8 to 88 seats to rock the establishment. So, French President Macron, who is a favorite of the World Economic Forum, has lost his majority in the National Assembly after a night that saw stunning gains for the right-wing populist Marie Le Pen's party. Now, they would call, you know, Donald Trump's Republican Party a right-wing populist party. Populism is good. Populism means representing the will of the people. That's what you're supposed to do in a democratic society. You're supposed to represent the will of the people. It's one of the great ironies of my life that there's been a transformation of the Democrat and Republican parties, where the Republicans used to be the party of the rich, and the Democrats are party of the working man. Today, the Democrats have actually become a party. I used to think it was ridiculous to say this. A party of communism, actually. They are an authoritarian, ideological communist party. They employ all the techniques of fascism, including endless propaganda and theft of elections galore, to maintain political power. I mean, we would be so much better off if they hadn't messed with the election in 2020. And anyone who thinks that it was on the up and up really truly hasn't come to grips with the reality here. Le Pen and her National Rally Party turned 8 parliamentary seats into a whopping 88. While Macron's ensemble was reduced to 245, well, short of the 289 to have a working majority. National Rally can now form a parliamentary group for the first time since 1986 and wield significant influence on policy decisions for the first time in a generation. This parliamentary group will be by far the largest in the history of our political family, said Le Pen, congratulating her supporters. The group will act as a firm opposition to Emmanuel Macron without connivance and respectful of the institutions. Experts were stunned as to how she could win 88 seats, given her first round score suggested a significantly lower figure. It's a good thing. This is very good. I and others are quite convinced Le Pen had the election stolen from her against Macron. It turns out that in France, if you have a defaced ballot, that you can, it's not counted, and it was very easy to deface the Le Pen ballot. Just a little tear was enough. And there were staggering numbers of little tear ballots, but to my understanding, not a single one was cast for Macron. Every single one was for Le Pen. Meanwhile, Matthew Gillard, a research director at Ipsos France, lamented how blocking the extreme right at all costs no longer works at the local level. In the context of these face-offs, ensemble voters abstain, that is to say the Macron voters. Maybe they, like blacks and Latinos here in the country, are becoming Trump supporters, voting Republican. French newspapers reacted by asserting France is now ungovernable after a political earthquake had occurred. Macron's prime minister, Elizabeth Borne, reacted badly, saying the proper functioning of democracy, which worked to hand Macron's party a heavy blow, represented a risk for France. This is analogous to Pelosi describing Republicans or conservative voters as domestic terrorists. So here you got Macron's PM saying that for this populist party to gain more influence politically is a risk for France. You see, the Democrats don't want the conservatives to have any political influence whatsoever. She continued, this situation represents a risk for our country, given the risk we're facing nationally and internationally. We will work as of tomorrow to build a working majority. Macron will also have to deal with the far-left leader, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who formed a coalition of leftist parties that wound up winning 131 seats. Notice that's significantly more than Le Pen. While she didn't go as hard on the issue as presidential rival Eric Zemmour, Marine Le Pen has spoken out against France's inability to absorb large numbers of migrants. I think what she means, she called for a national referendum to stop what she called the submersion of France via a globalist program of mass immigration. Yes, she has spoken out about France's inability to absorb huge numbers of migrants. Very, very good. And who, of course, wants the migrants entered by the millions here in the United States? Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and other miscreants. Meanwhile, we have another development in relation to Ukraine and Russia. Mystery blaze engulfs Russia's largest gas field, sending flames into the air as inferno could hit Europe's gas supply. A mystery blaze has broken out at Russia's largest gas field, sending flames shooting into the air, sparking concerns the inferno could hit, really, reduce Europe's gas supply. The dramatic moment was caught on camera, showed the country's Urengoyskoye deposit in the Far East engulfed in a giant fireball. I'm looking at some of the photographs. Pretty awesome. A blaze at a nearby location last year saw gas prices in Europe shoot up by 6%. This will probably have a greater effect. Gazprom officials said the major fire had been extinguished, but it was unclear how much damage had been sustained. They also shied away from explaining what knock-on effect it would have on gas supplies, which are already high-priced and causing economic hardship. Now, I have a friend who has excellent intel connections who tells me he believes this is done by satellite, laser or other satellite-mounted weapons, and that the United States may very well have been involved. And I'll just say, when the Russians figure that out, you can anticipate that they will strike back. I just don't see how they cannot. And if they were to, you know, use some of their extremely precise intercontinental ballistic missiles that are unstoppable. I mean, just think if they took out the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., right? I mean, surgical strikes. I'd say, look, don't forget Langley. Remember, the CIA does most of the damage that is committed by the nation around the world, the assassinations, the coups, the plots, the fake, the stealing the elections, you know, the CIA has done this forever. I cannot think of more greater benefit to the American people than getting rid of the CIA. Remember, JFK wanted to shatter the agency into 1,000 pieces and was one that became one of the reasons why he was taken out in Dallas on 22 November 1963. Meanwhile, get this. This is a reflection of how the sanctions imposed by the West are damaging the West. Russia cuts natural gas by 40% to Germany and Italy because of a pump failure, a compressor. Get this. Russia's state-owned natural gas company, Gazprom, has been forced to reduce pumping of natural gas through the Nord Stream pipeline into Germany and Italy by 40%. Why? Because Canada will not return a remanufactured gas compressor pump from Montreal on account of economic sanctions. Think about this. The remaining pumps on the Nord Stream cannot continue to handle the full load of 167 million cubic meters of gas per day, which has to be scaled back. Siemens Energy said a gas turbine powering a compressor station on the Nord Stream pipeline had been in service for more than 10 years and had been taken to Montreal for a scheduled overhaul. Because of economic sanctions imposed by Canada, the companies were unable to return the overhaul turbine to Gazprom. Thus, Europe will only be able to get 100 million cubic meters of natural gas per day instead of its 167 million. Think about that. That's a reduction of more than a third. The price for European natural gas is surging because of the 40% cut. Russian gas supply fell further, sparking concerns about refilling storage for winters. The cuts come as Nord Stream 1 is set to undergo annual maintenance on July 11th through 21st, when the supply will be cut off completely. Now, Hal Turner's got a very popular radio show, offers the following editorial opinion. Once again, Western economic sanctions imposed against Russia backfire and harm only the West. It should be noted that recently, German Chancellor Scholz publicly stated Germany was going to rebuild its army until the largest army in Europe, something that hasn't happened since the time of Adolf Hitler. One wonders how Germany plans to build that army when it doesn't even have enough natural gas to run the country. And by the way, having a big army, that's a very expensive proposition. One of the reasons for the European resurgence since World War II is that basically the United States has assumed the financial burden of maintaining the military defense of Europe. And all the European nations have benefited. This is why when Trump asked them to start paying what they were supposed to be paying for their participation in NATO, there was a lot of belly aches and complaining because they didn't want to do it. But Trump was doing the right thing. But people imposing these economic sanctions against Russia really do seem to me, observes Helt Turner, to be a special kind of stupid. I agree completely. Meanwhile, oil companies blast Biden for executive action threat on refinery production outputs, right? Biden, having come into office, canceled the XL pipeline, revoked permits to drill on federal land, cut off, made us no longer energy independent, one of the greatest achievements of the Trump administration, but now dependent on foreign oil. And he's trying to pass a buck. It was Biden's own policies that has put us in this energy shortage that's leading to skyrocketing gas prices. And if they think they're going to, you know, promote the Green New Deal, it's absurd. It's not going to happen. Electric cars aren't popular. They're good for a second vehicle around town, but they have a very short driving range. And then you got to sit for hours on your thumb while you wait for it to be recharged by, you know, battery to be recharged, unlike, say, 5 minutes at a gas pump. You're talking about a couple of hours. So while you save money on gas, you're wasting a huge amount of time. Most Americans are not going to go over that, which is why Ford, I believe, has decided to deal with electric vehicles directly to the consumer to cut out the middleman because they're losing money. So they just cut out the distributors. They're selling them directly to the public, but they're very expensive. We're talking 50 grand around that vicinity. Several energy companies have slapped back at Biden after Biden wrote a letter accusing them of gouging Americans. This is just bullshit. This is total politics passing the buck. Here is a tweet from Charles V. Page. We're going to make sure everyone knows Exxon's profit. Exxon made more money than God last year, said Biden. This is just ridiculous. In 2020, Exxon lost $22.4 billion. The federal government made $25.8 billion on gas taxes. Imagine how much they're raking in right now. No letter, speech, or form of communication would be complete without blaming Russia, Vladimir Putin. Thus, a portion of the letter says, there's no question that Vladimir Putin is principally responsible for the intense financial pain the American people and their families are back. No one believes this for a second. Amid a war that's raised gas prices more than $1.70 a gallon, historically high refinery profit margins are worsening that pain. It's just not true. Here's Javier Bloss tweeting. The more the White House antagonizes the American oil industry with cheap attacks, like the soundbite, Exxon makes more money than God, the worse it will look when Biden travels to Saudi Arabia to kiss their ass and ask for more oil. That part about kissing their ass isn't in the tweet, but it might as well be. We have a new report, by the way, that the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, who appears to be another moron in a key position, is suggesting cutting the gas tax. Well, the gas tax is like 18.9 cents per gallon. If you're paying, you know, nearly $5, it's not going to make a bit of difference. You're going to still be paying astronomically, and it's going to destroy that source of revenue to maintain our highways. Cutting the gas tax is another special kind of stupid. I'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Sad story out of Brazil. A leftist Brazilian mom kills her kid with a corona vax. She took a video of her girl getting the shot while the girl declared she trusts her mom more than the president of Brazil. Then more video is taken of the girl at home vomiting, ending with fairly loud audio of the mom crying and the girl dead. Avoid the vax. Meanwhile, Rand Paul took on Tony the Rat during congressional hearings, pointing out that's not science, that's conjecture, and blasting him over the idea of a COVID booster for kids. Remember, kids have virtually a 0% threat from COVID. So this is just all piling on to make more money for Pfizer and Moderna by killing little kids. This is just about as disgusting as it gets. Senator Rand Paul and St. Anthony Fauci, peace be upon him, had another verbal sparring match on Thursday, and it was just as amazing as the previous. Dr. Fauci may have tested positive for the China virus on Wednesday, but he was still well enough to appear via Zoom at a Senate hearing on the COVID pandemic response. One of the questions Senator Rand Paul had about boosters for children age 5 and up. Senator Paul asked the science himself, Dr. Fauci, if there were any proof that boosters for children do anything beneficial. He even made it absurd by asking if there should be a recommendation for 10 boosters for kids. He then cited data that the risk for teen boys in particular with these shots. Well, here's how it went. Rand Paul, here's the thing. You're not willing to be honest with the American people. So, for example, 75% of kids have had the disease. Why is the CDC not including this in the data? You could ask the question. You could do laboratory tests to find out who's had it and who hasn't had it. What is the incidence of hospitalization and death for children who have been infected with COVID, subsequently going to the hospital or dying? What is the possibility of your kid had COVID, which is 75% of the country, the chance of my child going to the hospital or dying? But Fauci just is unable to answer any questions on any of these issues directly. He always finds a way to change the subject, prevaricate, evade the issue. That is the single relevant question. Making a decision on whether or not to subject your child to the shot. Guarantee you, don't do it. Senator Paul summed up this exchange in a single tweet without the prevaricating authoritarian smurfs, obfuscation by citing data regarding 40 and 50-year-olds, which is completely irrelevant. This exchange comes just as the FDA has announced their advisory panel unanimously recommended, and they're like, 21 members of this board unanimously recommend Pfizer and Moderna mRNA products at lower doses for babies, toddlers, and preschools. I mean, the sadism, the cruelty, the viciousness. You got 21 members on the board recommended. Doesn't a single one of them has the capacity for independent thought? Do none of them recognize the risks involved here? Remember the Hippocratic Oath, the first principle, which is do no harm. But they're going out, they're going to murder hundreds of thousands, millions of kids. And this is because the Rothschilds are unrelenting. The Rothschilds are ruthless. The Rothschilds are going to kill every human being they can until they get down to this modest, maybe 500,000 who can work as serfs and slaves in the field. Pfizer has proposed a three-dose regimen for young kids at one-tenth the strength of the adult, with the first two doses 3 weeks apart and the third 2 months after the second, while the Moderna jabs will be two doses for 4 weeks apart for kids between 6 months and 6 years at one-quarter the strength of the adult dose, which is much stronger than the adult Pfizer. Many COVID-terrified parents have been anxiously awaiting the approval of the shot for children under the age of five for some time, despite consistent data that shows children at the lowest risk for severe complication or death from any age group. Another question that Senator Paul had was whether or not Dr. Fauci had ever received a royalty payment from any company that he later oversaw money going to that company. Despite his recent Wuhan Weezer diagnosis, Fauci was pretty feisty on this one, insisting that according to the regulations, the people who receive royalties are not required to divulge that information, even on that their financial statement. I take that to be a yes. He's asking, did Fauci ever receive a royalty payment from any company he later oversaw money going to the company? And he said, you're not required to divulge it. Well, here's Rand Paul, a United States Senator, asking this bigwig whether he's ever gotten money and he's evading it. Here, I think I've got it set so you can actually hear part of this exchange.
Senator Paul. Dr. Fauci, the government recommends everybody take a booster over age 5. Are you aware of any studies that show reduction in hospitalization or death for children who take a booster?
Right now, there's not enough data that has been accumulated, Senator Paul, to indicate that that's the case. I believe that the recommendation that was made was based on the assumption that if you look at the morbidity and mortality of children within each of the age groups, you know, 0 to 5, 5 to 11.
Right. So there are no studies, and Americans should all know this. There are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster. The only studies that were permitted, the only studies that were presented, were antibody studies. So they say, if we give you a booster, you make antibodies. Now, a lot of scientists would question whether or not that's proof of efficacy of a vaccine. If I give you 10, or if I give a patient 10 mRNA vaccines and they make protein each time, or they make antibody each time, is that proof that we should give 10 boosters, Dr. Fauci?
No, I think that is somewhat of an absurd exaggeration.
Well, that is the proof that you use. Your committees use that. That's the only proof you have to tell children to take a booster is that they make antibodies. So it's not an absurdity. You're already at like 5 boosters for people. You've had, you know, 2 or 3 boosters. It's like, where is the proof? Now, I think there is probably some indication for older folks that have some risk factors. For younger folks, there's not. But here's the other thing. There are some risk factors for the vaccine. So the risk of myocarditis with a second dose for adolescent boys 12 to 24 is about 80 in a million. This is both from the CDC and from the Israeli study. It's also in the VAERS study, remarkably similar for boys, much higher from boys than girls and much higher than the background. The background's about 2 per million. So there is risk and there are risks. And you're telling everybody in America, just blindly go out there because we made antibodies. So it is not an absurd corollary to say if you have 10. In fact, you probably make antibodies if you get 100 boosters. All right? That's not science. That's conjecture. And we should not be making public policy on it.
So, Senator Paul, if I might respond to that, we just heard in his opening statement, Ranking Member Burr talk about his staff who went to Israel. And if you look at the data from Israel, the boosts, both the third shot boost and the fourth shot boost, was associated with a clear-cut clinical effect, mostly in elderly people, but also as they gathered more data, even in people in the 40s and the 50s. So there is clinical data.
But not in children.
Well,
see, again, here's the thing is you're not willing to be honest with the American people. So, for example, 75% of kids have had the disease. Why is the CDC not including this in the data? You can ask the question. You can do laboratory tests to find out who's had it and who hasn't had the disease. What is the incidence of hospitalization and death for children who have been infected with COVID, subsequently going to the hospital or dying? What is the possibility if your kid has had COVID, which is 75% of the country's had COVID, what is the chance that my child's going to the hospital or dying?
If you look at the number of deaths in pediatrics, Senator, you can see that there are more deaths
of people who have had it, of people who have had the disease.
Senator, we also know from other studies that the optimal degree of protection when you get infection is to get vaccinated after infection. And in fact, showing reinfection in the era of Omicron and the sublineages, that vaccination...
But you can't answer the question I asked. The question I ask is how many kids are dying and how many kids are going to the hospital who've already had COVID? The answer may be 0, but you're not even giving us the data because you have so much wanted to protect everybody from all the data because we're not smart enough to look at the data. When you released data earlier, when the CDC released the data, they left out the category of 18 to 49 on whether or not there was a health benefit for adults 18 to 49. Why was it left out? When critics finally complained, it was finally included because there was no health benefit from taking a booster between the 18 to 49 and the CDC study. Another question for you. The NIH continues to refuse to voluntarily divulge the names of scientists who receive royalties and from which companies. over the period of time from 2010 to 2016, 27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees. Can you tell me that you have not received a royalty from any entity that you ever oversaw the distribution of money in research grants?
Well, first of all, let's talk about royalties.
That's the question. No, that's the question. Have you ever overseen, have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that you later oversaw money going to that company?
You know, I don't know as a fact, but I doubt it.
Here's the thing is, why don't you let us know? Why don't you reveal how much you've gotten and from what entities? The NIH refuses. Look, we ask them. We ask them. The NIH, we ask them whether or not, who got it and how much. They refuse to tell us. They sent it redacted. Here's what I want to know. It's not just about you. Everybody on the vaccine committee, have any of them ever received money from the people who make vaccines? Can you tell me that? Can you tell me if anybody on the vaccine approval committees ever received any money from people who make vaccines?
Soundbite number one, are you going to let me answer a question? Okay, so let me give you some information. First of all, according to the regulations, people who receive royalties are not required to divulge them, even on their financial statement, according to the Bayh-Dole Act. So let me give you some example. From 2015 to 2020, the only royalties I have was my lab and I made a monoclonal antibody for use in vitro reagent that had nothing to do with patients. And during that period of time, my royalties ranged from $21 a year to $700 a year. And the average per year was $191.46.
It's all redacted, and you can't get any information on the 1,800 scientists.
Your time is up.
So we want to know whether people got money from the people who made the manufacturing.
Senator Paul, your time is long over expired. I gave you an additional 2.5 minutes. The witness has responded. We are going to move on. Senator Sanders.
That's Senator Patty Murray from Washington. And Washington's having an interesting situation because Governor Inslee there has announced he's going to crack down on guns. And there's been a huge surge of buying guns and ammunition in the state of Washington. Good thing. Meanwhile, and by the way, Rand Paul, dealing with the world's greatest anal aperture, is doing the best he can. This guy is slippery as an eel. He's as dishonest as they come. And I have asserted and reaffirmed he's going to go down as one of the greatest mass murders in all of history. In all of history. And that's going some, because you have Pot Paul, you have Mao, you have Stalin, all of whom brought about tens of millions of deaths. Well, Anthony Fauci is going to exceed them by many orders of magnitude. Meanwhile, Ron Johnson is observing that America's enemies are taking advantage of Biden's weakness. And I think he's got it right. In fact, I'm really impressed with Ron Johnson. He is my senator. I reside here in Wisconsin, just south of Madison. He's the one guy who's making a difference. Senator Ron Johnson told Newsmax Friday, adversaries of the United States are taking advantage of Biden's general weakness in regard to his domestic and foreign policies. He's got that right. Just about everything Biden has done as president has weakened this country. He's got that right, too. The Wisconsin senator listed how, from the opening of our borders, the massive flood of illegal immigrants, four-year high inflation, record gas prices, high energy prices, rising crime, the embarrassing and dangerous surrender in Afghanistan, our adversaries see it. how weak we've been, our inability to respond, and they'll take advantage of it. Several experts in international politics have also touted Johnson's analysis earlier this month. Columbia University professor Andrew Nathan wrote in Foreign Policy that China is confident in the United States' decline and unwilling to rock the boat. In his piece, Nathan mentioned the catastrophic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the political paralysis and widening polarization of the Biden era as reasons why China views the United States as weak. What President Xi has seen out of President Biden is, again, the embarrassing surrender in Afghanistan. We did not provide Ukraine with the type of lethal defensive weaponry they needed before the invasion. Well, I don't think we should be giving Ukraine any support whatsoever, but we have our vast number of biolabs there, which even the Pentagon is acknowledging. And, of course, Biden and his family have all these corrupt business ties to Ukraine, just as they have other equally, if not more monumental, corrupt business ties to China. I mean, how this guy, you know, obviously the American people repudiated this guy at the polls. They was massively in favor of Trump. So that's, of course, got to be an issue we're not even allowed to address, much less debate in open public discussion. Meanwhile, and I regard this as another positive development, even CNN is reporting Liz Cheney has a 10% chance of being reelected. Her odds, via the Daily Caller, and here the author calls himself all a pundit, 10% is a ridiculous estimate. Her odds can't be higher than 1% realistically. I agree with that. Even that feels generous. So I suppose we should give her a 1 in 100 chance of prevailing simply on the strength of residual fondness for Dick Cheney among Wyoming Republicans, who Dick Cheney, in my opinion, is among the most evil, malevolent presence ever in high office in the United States, and where my collaborative research on 9/11 has concluded, as did Michael Rupert in his book, Crossing the Rubicon, based on public available sources, that Dick Cheney was the executive director of 9/11 operating from a bunker beneath the White House. These national numbers don't bode well for victory in a Republican primary in the reddest state in the country. Nearly 6 in 10 Democrats, 58%, have a favorable view of Liz Cheney compared with just 18% of Republicans. In other words, 40% more Democrats have a favorable view of Dick Cheney than do Republicans. Americans overall split, 35 versus 37. A week ago, I might have given her a 3% chance of winning because of the vagaries of primary voting in Wyoming. Voters there can re-register as members of the other party on primary day and vote in that primary. Conceivably, Cheney could eke out a win by combining massive turnout among Democrats in her favor with a solid base of support among centrist Republicans. But even in the best of circumstances, pulling that off would be the equivalent of a royal flush. Per NRO, there are 197,868 registered Republicans in Wyoming compared to 44,646 registered Democrats and 35,324 independents. In other words, the state is so lopsidedly Republican that even if every Democrat and independent turned out for the GOP primary, re-registered and voted for Cheney, she'd still need a solid 30% of Republicans to win. A 3% chance is frankly optimistic in those circumstances. A 3% chance. Because if she wants 30% of Republicans, only 18% view her favorably. It ain't going to happen. Meanwhile, the recount tweets, Senator Ted Cruz claims Representative Adam Kissinger and Liz Cheney are not Republicans. He says, why would I watch the January 6th hearings? I don't watch the Democrat National Convention. It's a multi-day political campaign ad. It is designed to be propaganda. He's got it 100%. Now, if you thought airheads are running the Democrat Party, here's another confirmation. Hillary ridiculed for attacking Republicans for having the strategy of winning presidential elections by winning the Electoral College. Yes. Can you believe it? She reminds us she won the popular vote by nearly 3 million, but lost the Electoral College by 780,000 votes. Biden won the popular vote by more than 7 million, but barely escaped the Electoral College by 43,000 votes. Hillary reacted by saying, that tells you everything you need to know about Republican strategy for 2024. The Financial Times promoted the interview with her on Twitter. In terms of Republican strategy for 2024, she believes they will focus on winning the Electoral College. Unbelievable. Given the size of the Democrats' victory in the popular vote in the past two elections, on the subject of Roe v. Wade, Hillary said, the level of insidious rulemaking to further oppress women almost knows no end, adding that if it were overturned, it would make The Handmaid's Tale, written by Margaret Atwood, a prophet. Hillary was lampooned for attempting to vilify Republicans for trying to carry out the alleged crime of trying to win presidential elections by winning the Electoral College. Numerous online commentators pointed out the basic civic lesson that it is the candidate who wins the Electoral College rather than the popular vote who wins the election as long as they have at least 270 electoral votes. Stunning. Twitter reaction slammed Hillary for knocking Republicans for attempting to win the election via the Electoral College, columnist T. Beckett Adams. Does Hillary still not understand the rules of presidential elections? National Security Advisor to Ted Cruz, it's obviously none of my business, but I'm sure Republicans are going to try to win the Electoral College. Is cutting-edge commentary. Editor David Roots. Sounds like a sound strategy to win the Electoral College. I'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change.
time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
When you talk about a special kind of dumb, I mean, look at this. You got Hillary Clinton complaining that the Republicans are going to make their strategy for the presidential election to win the Electoral College. I mean, give me a break. I got to relish this just a bit more. So, you know, I began to add a few more comments. Editor David Roots. Seems like a sound strategy to try to win the Electoral College. Writer Gerald Beer. And the Democrats, meanwhile, will focus on the popular vote so they can continue to complain about the Electoral College after they lose. Commentator Jim Treacher. Yeah, winning the Electoral College is how it works. I guess Hillary hasn't figured that out yet. Kentucky State Representative Patrick Flannery. Really bold strategy. Why didn't I think of that? Attorney Damon Toll. So the 2024 strategy is to win the election? Laura K. Barr. Was this not her strategy, too? It all makes sense now. A Twitter user mocked. In terms of strategy, if the Yankees make the World Series, they're going to focus on winning four games instead of scoring the most runs in the series. After losing the 2016 presidential election to Trump, Hillary called for the Electoral College to be abolished. I think it needs to be eliminated, she said. I'd like to see us move beyond it. Yes. Well, bear in mind, the founding fathers had in mind giving each of the states the opportunity to participate so that your number of electoral college votes is your senators, and there are two per each state, so there are 100 electoral votes that distributed two per state, and then one for each representative in the House, right? And that means that, you know, the more populous states are going to have more electoral votes, but the fact is that you're actually voting for electors rather than voting directly for president, for electors who will cast their votes in the Electoral College. And where the whole January 6th thing was orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi, of this I have no doubt whatsoever, in order to disrupt the stage in the process where the representatives in Congress have the opportunity to discuss election irregularities. That was what was going on. It wasn't counting the vote. They're claiming constantly, repetitiously, over and over again, that these were Trump supporters who were trying to stop the counting of the electoral vote. No, they weren't trying to do that. I don't think any of them were trying to do that. Certainly Trump wasn't trying to do that. This whole thing is so rigged in so many ways. But the point is, it was orchestrated and timed so the disruption would come at precisely the point when members of Congress were in the position, had the opportunity to introduce evidence of electoral improprieties, voting fraud, and the like. They wanted to disrupt that. They also wanted to have a pretext for tarnishing Trump or any other member of the right wing of the Republican Party for participating in the peaceful protest, which is our inalienable right under the Fourth Amendment, by the way, the right to peaceful protest. It may even be in the first. The fact is that they wanted to use this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment that says if you participate in an insurrection, if you incite an insurrection, then you're not allowed to run for federal office. They've got to cheat some way. They know Trump's going to clean their clock. I mean, it's just disgusting beyond words. And, of course, they're trying to do it by rigging elections again and again and again. Here we have a very interesting development in Texas. This is another positive sign. I mean, it's joyful for me to be able to come on and give you some reports about the latest developments that are good. Texas GOP passes resolution declaring Biden not legitimately elected. They got that right. Texas Republicans passed a resolution on June 18th stating that President Joe Biden was not legitimately elected and that substantial election fraud in key metropolitan areas influenced the result of the 2020 presidential election in favor of Biden. We believe that the 2020 election violated Article 1 and 2 of the U.S. Constitution, that various secretaries of state illegally circumvented their state legislatures in conducting their elections in multiple ways, including by allowing ballots to be received after November 3rd, 2020, stated the resolution passed Saturday, the last of the three-day biennial Texas GOP convention held in Houston. Now, that business about the electors is where Mike Pence could have made a difference, which he declined to do. If you have more than one slate of electors from a state, then Pence, as vice president, responsible for counting the votes, had the responsibility to send it back to the state in accordance with the Constitution to determine which electors were the right electors to be counted. It's not him controlling the outcome of the election. No, it's him exercising his constitutional duty to ensure that the right votes are counted. That doesn't determine the outcome. It's how many, when all the right votes are counted, who gets the most in the Electoral College, 270 or more, that becomes the elector. So we're getting nothing but propaganda, lies, distortions from the Democrats because they've got nothing else to go on. They've got nothing else to go on with a massive immigration, with sky-high inflation, with gas prices, with food shortages, with the war, with the vax problems and more. There isn't a single thing that Joe Biden has done for the United States that's constructive and receives the support of the American people. Nothing. He's down to 22% among young people, 24% among Hispanics. I mean, it's just absolutely stunning. Going into the toilet, which is why it looks as though they're going to try to figure out some way to circumvent the November election, because none of the Democrats seem to be displaying the kind of apprehension or concern they ought to be if this were a democracy. If they did not know they can control and maneuver their way out of the treacherous shoals represented by the midterm election, their whole attitude and demeanor would be completely different. This is a Soviet-style, kangaroo court going on in Washington, D.C. The networks are losing so many viewers. Actually, the major networks are getting about half the viewership they have from their normal programming, So that NBC actually went back to golf. It went to golf instead of sticking with because they were losing so many viewers. And, of course, advertising is a function of the number of viewers and all that. So here we have in Texas, they're calling it out properly. We believe that substantial election fraud in key metropolitan areas significantly affected the results in five key states in favor of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. We reject the certified results of the 2020 presidential election, and we hold that acting President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was not legitimately elected by the people of the United States. I love this. The state's GOP, the largest in the nation, passed the resolution after delegates sat through a Thursday screening of 2,000 mules, a documentary directed by conservative author and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza, a man, may I say, who appears to be of the highest level of integrity. I'm very impressed by this. The movie is awesome. We had Bill Barr, the former attorney general, say he'd seen 2,000 mules and it hadn't impressed him. Well, he was lying one way or another. I don't believe he even watched it. That would be my first presumption. But if he then watched it and declared it didn't impress him, well, that's ridiculous. Everyone, whether you're a Republican or an independent or a Democrat who has watched 2,000 mules, has had the strength of their belief that the election was rigged, that it was stolen, that this was grand theft election, strengthened. The movie features the undercover investigative work of David Laura, a citizen investigator, and Arizona State Senate candidate Gary Snyder, as well as investigation conducted by the election integrity organization True the Vote, on an alleged coordinated ballot trafficking operation during the 2020 election, described as an expose of widespread coordinated voter fraud in the 2020 election. The movie draws on cell phone location data paired with video surveillance footage that, here they say allegedly, it's nothing alleged about it, showed a cohort of people dropping ballots off at drop boxes situated outdoors on an average of more than 20 times apiece. And they were dropping off at least five ballots, 20 times apiece. That's 100 votes for one. Those people were described by the investigators as mules. While some states allow people to gather ballots from certain persons and drop them off, the volume of ballots inserted into the boxes and the fact that people went to multiple boxes to drop ballots off showed what happened was illegal. The mules are instructed to do three votes here or five votes over there, 10 votes over there. They spread it around so as not to raise eyebrows, not to raise suspicion, D'Souza previously observed. The scale of the operation was enough to tip the 2020 election. And this is only one way in which the Democrats stole the 2020 election. Only one way. The Texas GOP passed a resolution on Saturday afternoon. The approved platform also recommended numerous measures to bolster election integrity, including implementing voter ID, voter photo ID, and in-person voting and tightening the voter registration process, all to the good. Other issues endorsed in the state Republican latest platform include a call to abolish abortion, preserve gun rights, remove Marxist ideology and critical race theory from schools, and ban gender modification of children. I agree with all that, except I believe in a woman's right to choose. I believe every woman should have the right to determine whether or not to carry a fetus to term. I believe Roe v. Wade was the most wise decision ever rendered by the Supreme Court, unrestricted in the first trimester. State can qualify how it's conducted in the second. But after the end of the second trimester, after 6 months, when viability sets in, when the fetus can exist independent of the uterine environment, in essence, the developing entity becomes a person and acquires the legal, social, and moral status appropriate thereto, which includes a primitive right to life, to not be subject to an abortion in the third trimester unless to save the life or the health of the mother, or her rights override that of the fetus. Democrats go whole hog. They're all for abortion right up to and even after the birth of a child live. That is infanticide. That is just disgusting and unbelievable. Remember, under Roe v. Wade, any abortion during the third trimester other than to save the life or the health of the mother is murder and prosecutable as such. And I fear what we're going to have now is denying a woman the right to decide, forcing women to carry to term an unwanted fetus, which turns them into reproductive slaves, in my opinion. It's un-American, undemocratic. It's grossly wrong, in my opinion. I believe there's a lot of confusion about the developing entity and at what point it attains the status of personhood. There's even been efforts in some states, because of the significance of this issue, philosophically, theoretically, morally, to designate the developing fetus as a person from the moment of conception. This is just ridiculous beyond words. I mean, you know, if you actually appeal to such a thing, you're going to have menstrual police. When women cease to menstruate, you're going to have to determine, are they pregnant or not pregnant? I mean, the morning after pill, all these sorts of things. It would be bizarre. Bizarre. So, you know, I think Roe v. Wade was the right thing. It doesn't require any woman to act contrary to her conscience. Every woman, no woman is forced to get an abortion, for crying out loud. No woman is forced to get an abortion. But sometimes you have too many kids in the family. Maybe that it's completely inappropriate. In order to have a child, you'd have to give up work. You couldn't put food on the table, keep a roof over your head. The circumstances are so varied, it's got to be done on an individual case-by-case basis. None of this wholesale legislation that every woman must be required to carry to term. And I don't like the idea of having a patchwork quilt for what I regard as a basic right. So a woman would have to travel to another state. I mean, think of all the inconvenience, the cost, the time, the expense, the arrangements, blah, 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 blah. I just think that's completely wrong. Now, I know there are many of you in my audience who have a different view, so I'm merely being candid about my views about this. And I know, I mean, even Mitchell, for example, who's my wonderful producer, disagrees with me over this. But when you look at this Texas Republican platform, I agree with everything else: preserving gun rights, removing Marxist ideology, critical race theory from theory, banning gender modification of children. James Woslick, communication director for the Republican Party of Texas, reported 5,500 delegates attended the convention, which offers Republicans an opportunity to set priorities for the next legislative session in 2023 and elect party leaders. Remember, the Republican Party of Texas is a grassroots party. Mac Rinaldi, chairman of the party, told attendees It doesn't belong to me, the governor, the senators, or Congress, or any elected official. This is your party. According to the U.S. National Archives, by the way, Biden received 306 electoral votes in the 2020 election, and Trump received 232. Trump and others across the country have alleged that a substantial fraud affected and changed the outcome. I have no doubt about it. All the signs were there in advance. And before they began to manipulate the outcome, Sidney Powell had tweeted the actual results of the election, where people in Germany saw this before the Dominion servers were seized. This will probably be removed or shared as much as possible. The fraud is massive. Shame on them. The country is virtually red from coast to coast. I was predicting at the time that both California and Minnesota would go for Trump. California and Minnesota went for Trump. Trump actually got, by an honest count, 410 electoral votes, Biden 128. I mean, it was that bad, 410 to 128. The public liked what Trump was doing. He developed a vigorous economy. He made us energy independent. The lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the fastest rate because he clamped down on the border. He really took care of business. He protected the border. Biden's bringing in millions, millions of illegals, flying them all over the country. They're trying to change the demographics. They're trying to get whites to reproduce at a lower rate, and they know the migrants are going to reproduce at a faster rate, so they're going to change the demographics of the United States, possibly forever. Now, you may like that or not like that, but I think the American people have the right to have a say in that Biden's doing this by simply not enforcing the border laws, which in my opinion is illegal, unconstitutional, totally unwarranted, treasonous. One more story and I'll open the lines up for callers. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell's here. He'll field your call. Elon Musk, who looks like a pretty good guy to me, tells Twitter staff he'll allow pretty outrageous tweets in a leaked video. What that means is he actually believes in freedom of speech. You know, there is no such thing as hate crimes under the Constitution. The idea of offending somebody by your speech, that is your right as an American citizen. The Democrats would have it that if you hurt someone's feelings, you're not allowed to say it. Well, that's just rubbish. That is as complete rubbish as it gets. The whole point of the First Amendment is to protect unpopular speech. Popular speech, with which everyone agrees, does not need any protection. A portion of billionaire tech entrepreneur Elon Musk's call with Twitter employees was released Thursday, with a Tesla CEO saying he believed people should be allowed to say pretty outrageous things as long as it's legal. So I think people should be allowed to say pretty outrageous things that are in the bounds of the law, but that don't get amplified and don't get a ton of reach. He said, according to a video released by Project Veritas, Musk, who's attempting to purchase Twitter for $44 billion, was speaking during an all-hands meeting of Twitter. Musk added, I think an important goal for Twitter would really try to include as much of the country, as much of the world as possible, allowing the social media platform to really go to the next level. I think the potential is there for Twitter to have to be accessible to an order of magnitude of more people. Let's say the far left 10% and the far right 10% were equally upset on Twitter. That would probably be a good outcome. Elaborating further on the short clip Veritas released, Musk said Twitter should meet a standard to keep Twitter users very entertained and informed above all else, rather than merely employing policies to not offend certain people. Musk appeared to have been answering a series of questions from employees in the San Francisco-based tech firm. In April, Musk and Twitter jointly announced he'd purchase the company and take it private. These deals take weeks or months to complete. Much of Twitter's top leadership team is still intact. But the deal hit a snag in May after Musk said Twitter wasn't providing him with enough data on bots or automated AI-driven accounts that were not real. They didn't represent real people. And it turns out that Joe Biden's account is 50% are fake. 50% are fake. And the question becomes, how much of Twitter altogether is fake? Musk has alleged that there are far more bot accounts than Twitter has let on. In June, the company said it would provide him with spam data as part of the deal. Musk, and it says here, the world's richest man, but I don't believe. I think Jeff Bezos has to be the world's richest man. The Amazon.com is by far the biggest and most powerful company in the world. And I'm confident Jeff Bezos. In fact, this isn't even talking about the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are worth trillions. Anyone you talk about the magnitude of wealth when you're talking about Musk or Bezos, it's only in the billions. When you get to the Rothschilds, it's in the trillions. But they don't want to admit the power of the Rothschilds that control all of our media. Remember, the Rothschilds control, they own the AP, they own Reuters. And as I many, many times reported, I have an assemblage of photographs of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. Another collage of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. A third from the New York Times. 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. The Rothschilds are the real enemy of freedom of speech. Don't lose track of that. Meanwhile, Musk observes, a platform can't be considered inclusive or fair if it's biased against half the country. Popular Twitter account Libs of TikTok has said it received numerous death threats in recent days. I've now received about a dozen death threats after radical leftists accused me of being a domestic terrorist extremist. Twitter user Libs of TikTok wrote, Twitter has not removed any of the accounts of those who sent the threats. Why not? Back taking your calls after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I take our first caller, Mitchell has shared with me over the break a very disturbing report that Lithuania is blockading Russia from reaching Kaliningrad, where there are a million Russians in Kaliningrad. This is very, very serious. Zero hedge. Russia demands Lithuania lift openly hostile blockade. Panic buying ensues. The Russian Foreign Ministry has responded to Lithuania's partial blockade of Kaliningrad, writing in a statement that they consider the provocative measure to be openly hostile and warning that the Kremlin may take action to protect its national interests. Kaliningrad is sandwiched between the EU and NATO members, Poland and Lithuania. Supplies from Russia are delivered via rail and gas pipelines through Lithuania, which announced last week it was banning the rail transit of goods subject to EU sanctions, which include coal, advanced technology, metals, and construction materials. If, in the near future, cargo transit between the Kaliningrad region and the rest of the territory of the Russian Federation through Lithuania is not restored in full, then Russia reserves the right to take actions to protect its national interests. This is serious. This is unbelievably bad. I mean, it's very clear that this is a deliberately provocative action intended to try to bring about a war between Russia and NATO. Who would benefit? Not the United States, I guarantee you, not any NATO nation, but the Rothschild banking empire, their Israeli stooges, I think they believe they would benefit. Israel wants America and Russia to annihilate itself and for Israel to emerge as the new leader of the new world, just as Charlie Manson wanted there to be a war between the blacks and the whites, and he thought that because the blacks were stronger, they'd defeat the whites, but because they were also dumber, this is Charlie's view now, as Vince Bugliosi has explained it to us, they need leadership, and Charlie and his band would emerge from the mountains to provide that leadership. I mean, it's bizarre. By the way, if you haven't seen the wonderful film, you know, a funny thing happened in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a Tarantino film with Brad Pitt and Leonardo da Vinci. You got to see it. It's just terrific on so many levels. Here's another point then about what Mitchell has just shared with me. Earlier Monday, The Kremlin called Lithuania's announcement unprecedented and in violation of everything there is. The situation is more than serious and requires a very deep analysis before formulating any measures and decisions, said Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov in a statement to the press. Lithuanian Foreign Minister Gabrielis Landsbergis said they were simply complying with sanctions imposed by the EU and were taken after consultation with the European Commission and under its guidelines. Sanctioned goods will no longer be allowed to transit Lithuanian territory. Kaliningrad Governor Anton Kalinov says that the ban, which was confirmed on Friday, affects roughly 50% of all imports. He urged citizens not to panic buy. Well, you know what kind of good that's going to do. It's going to be stunning. Quite possibly the biggest Russia-West provocation of the entire four-month-long war has now just occurred, but few in the media are even taking notice, even though this development has the potential to aspire toward a World War III scenario. Russia's not going to allow this to happen. And as I've observed many times, Russia has far better military equipment, is far better positioned to engage in a war it does not want than has the West to undertake a war that it seems to want, but for which it is grossly unprepared. Meanwhile, we have a call from area code 816. Caller, give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
Yeah, Brian in Missouri, what you're just talking about reminds me of World War II because they're using the same playbook. If you look up Mike King on the anti-New York Times, he talks about Brumberg, Poland in 1939 and how the Poles did something similar, and they were killing a lot of the Germans in this Polish town of Brumberg, which was German ethnically. And Hitler went in, and that's kind of what started World War II. It's not like what we get in our history books. So that's what triggered as soon as you talked about Kaliningrad.
Very, very, very good. Very, very nice observation. More of your thoughts.
Well, I just want to give you this food for thought when it comes to abortion. I'm not going to give you any spiritual stuff. Just know that anything our government does, it's usually bad. So if they say abortion Roe versus Wade is good, that means the opposite is true. And what I know they use that for, it's like black magic ritual. They get so much bad energy from abortion in black magic ritual. That's what they use it for. Because it causes trauma that they're using. And I know for fact, because I do that Kundalini yoga stuff, I see into things that normally you don't see. And I've got a daughter who was actually the daughter of a girl that I was with in college, and this girl had an abortion. Well, she reincarnated in this lifetime. And she is daughter from hell. You cannot believe how horrendous she's been. And what they show me, it's the trauma that she suffered as an embryo from that lifetime.
Brian, I certainly respect your right to your opinions. I have debated abortion for 35 years in courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. There's no novel argument that's going to alter my opinions about it, but I'm certainly glad to share those of others.
One more thing I want to mention.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When I heard about all these Ukrainian generals that got taken out, my only hope is that they weren't there plotting a coup against Zelensky. the first thing that hit me was, if that was the case, Zelensky probably turned them in. I guess the way we'll know is if there's no coup, we'll know that's what they were doing. If we suddenly get a coup, then we know that they were actually there planning things on the battlefield. So that was my other thought.
Well, very good, Brian. I appreciate your call and sharing your point of view. Excellent. I do appreciate. Anything else you'd like to address?
No, I think that's it. That's my thoughts for the day.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the call. I do have another story here related to Ukraine I want to share with everyone, which is that all this business with a gas supply is going to have ramifications and consequences. American Thinker, which is a much underappreciated, highly intellectual magazine, observes with a new article by Clarice Feldman. Russia's Ukrainian invasion may end the monomaniacal focus on carbon emissions. In other words, a shortage of gas is so desperate, there's no way electricity, solar, air is going to make up any of the difference. People are getting a jolt of reality, like ice water in the face, about trying to do without gas in this day and age. Here's what she writes. Every now and then, droplets of reality splash on the noggins of the world's big thinkers. Russia's invasion of Ukraine seems to have highlighted to all but the Biden administration the folly of a single-minded attempt to curb carbon emissions, emissions which, by the way, may be more of a boon to the well-being of the Earth and its inhabitants than not, meaning she's right about this. I've done a 9-part series with Joe Olson about global warming and all that. It's all the whole claim to be, exercised about the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere has no scientific basis whatsoever. Not only is there no connection, no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth, which means there can't possibly be a causal connection. But carbon dioxide actually cools the Earth in 4 different ways, and it's indispensable to life. Here she continues. In Foreign Policy, Ted Nordhaus suggests the invasion may end the Cold War on fossil fuels. He argues global leaders have had too great a focus on carbon emissions while ignoring questions of affordability and reliability of energy supply. And those are policies that most hurt the poor. Right now, even those not poor are seeing a lot of evidence of how unaffordable are these extravagant fantasies of a carbon zero world. He describes historically how the end of the Cold War led both to an unrealistic idea of the course of energy supply and the performative theater of the internationalists. Aspirational goals and non-binding commitments became the currency of negotiations that lack any real enforcement capability. Like other UN initiatives that emerged in the 90s and early 2000s, such as the Sustainable Development Goals and the Convention on Biological Diversity, the purpose was primarily to exhort and galvanize. Yearly UN climate conferences, amplified by the world's media, became performative theater, where the utopian agenda of the global environmental movement, limiting warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels, powering the world entirely with renewable energy, switching to organic agriculture, and transferring hundreds of billions of dollars from rich countries to poor for mitigation and adaptation, could be talked about as if they were realistic. Facts on the ground told a different story. The carbon intensity of the global energy system fell faster in the 30 years before the first major UN climate conference than after, a result of rising energy efficiency, the spread of nuclear power, and the changing composition of the global economy. After 1997, when the Kyoto Protocol was adopted, both total and per capita emissions rose faster than before. Peace, technological advances and economic competition did more to reduce carbon intensity than international conferences and aspirational agreements, and to a large part, these technological advances were due to growth powered by cheap fossil fuels. Instead of acknowledging the source of the improvement, the big thinkers thought they could run the largely peaceful, globally integrated world on Russian gas, Middle East oil, and Chinese solar panels. As of Feb 24, when Russia invaded, that utopian world ended. The first victim of such thinking has been the European Union, home of a great many of the world's really big thinkers. It was, as its president Ursula von der Leyen said last week, Russia's biggest and most important client. Now it faces a brutal winter to come. For almost a month, German alarm bells have been ringing. We're joined by another caller from the 408 area code caller. This may be Paul. Join you. Give us your name and state and join the conversation.
It's Dr. Fauci, California. How are you?
Yeah. How are you, Tony the Rat? God, is he disgusting, Paul.
I'm on another diatribe, and I'm saying, aren't there any callers? But you can only say meanwhile so many times. I'm pleading for the listening audience and for all the callers, potential callers. You got to go back.
Well,
it
depends so much on the content of the show, and a lot of times when there are, you know, so many positive stories like we had today, they're more interested in listening than calling. I mean, it's just the way it plays out, Paul. I don't think it means anything in particular. Go ahead.
I prefer, and again, you know, I think you'll find you'll get more back and forth and more interplay if you go back to at least a 45-minute or maybe an hour call. And if the callers are sparse, you have already shown the ability to continue on your own. But sometimes I think that, and I'm just speaking again, you know, not just for myself, but probably other people too, that a lot of times to wait, you know, for like a very brief half-hour call-in session. Last week there was two, both Wednesday and Friday, you weren't taking calls, I guess, because Mitch wasn't there. And I had some venting to do, but I'm just rolling with the punches today. You know, I'm making some deliveries here in my job, and I occasionally deliver the catalytic converter because they're getting cut off. And also one of the shop owners told me that he's now having to replace gas tanks because people are drilling holes in the gas tank to steal the gas.
I know, it's incredible, Paul. It is incredible. And that's a sign of where we are, that the economy is collapsing, that people don't have any money. They're having trouble putting food on the table and keeping a roof over their heads. Paul, I'm always glad for you to vent away. Offer more of your thoughts.
Well, you know, I would only take an issue with the, you know, don't have any money or the poverty aspect, because one of the shop owners that I was talking to, a neighbor shop owner of his, the guy that had a mechanic shop right behind him, was recently killed by somebody as he went out to try to stop, you know, a catalytic converter theft on his daughter's Prius, and he got shot. And the people that did it, they were in a BMW. Now you can watch YouTube videos. I've binge watched YouTube on a number of subjects. And you can binge watch these YouTube videos about catalytic converter thieves. And a lot of times they're caught on surveillance camera and other. It's not typically a crime of poverty. It's a crime of scumbaggery. Okay. There's a lot of scumbags in this country. And I honestly feel that even though they will get, in some cases on the Prius, he told me they're worth $600 on the black market because a brand new one costs $3,000. Now that's, that's absurd. That's just the way it is. So you do a couple of those, well, that's a pretty good night. But in general, the run-of-the-mill catalytic converter has got a value of $500 to $700, and you're getting $100 to $150, maximum $200 on the black market. So it's just a lowbrow scumbag type of crime. But it just fits with the, you know, the decay that we're seeing in society as we allow in more potential scumbags. You know, let's face it, these people that we're allowing into this country, you know, blacks and browns and a lot of these Asians and Arabs. There's a high scumbag factor in these people. We're not getting, as Trump used to say, we're not getting the best and the brightest here. So it's a war. You know, we're in a war, and I think we need to recognize it, and it's not a war against the Democrats. Okay, I know you have a political show and you talk a lot about politics, but as you, I'm sure you know, this goes way beyond Democrats and the Democratic Party.
Oh, Paul, yes, I agree. Yes, I agree. And Biden is, of course, just a puppet, but he represents an effort to destroy America. I mean, there's just no room for doubt about it. Everything he has done since he came into office has had a negative impact on the vitality of the United States, on its economy, on its mores, on its culture. Every single thing the Democrats have been promoting has been bad for America, has weakened us, has further contributed to the decadence of society. I cannot think of a single redeeming contribution from Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, and the whole lot of them.
No, 100% agreement here. I mean, it's part of the agenda that people were predicting, because we know what Biden stands for, and he stands for whatever they tell him to stand for. I don't really think that there's very much authentic left in him. And, of course, if that's not him, if that's a double most of the time or all the time, then it doesn't really matter. He's just playing a part. So we, you know, we got issues, and they're not going to be solved by elections. Unfortunately, you know, we can go through the motions, but, you know, as I pointed out to you with the whole Canadian trucker thing, when you and I didn't really go at it, but we took opposite positions. I told you it was meaningless, and you told me, no, you liked it. It was a good sign. I would just ask you, okay, what did it amount to? Where are we today?
Well, it caused Trudeau to show his true colors. Look, Paul, the consequences can be long-term for this. I thought it was important the Canadian people be protesting their abuse by their own government. And God knows we got massive abuse of the American people by our own government. Paul, let me add one more thought and see if you agree with this. This is a tweet about what I was just beginning to discuss about the CO2 and all that. A characteristic of people on the left is magical thinking. They firmly believe that mankind, or is it humankind, can control the temperature of the earth. Not only that, but that control can be accomplished merely by eliminating one parameter, CO2. That sort of magical thinking is also what makes leftists believe that a man can transform himself into a woman and vice versa. And with magical thinking, there's no contemplating what the downstream negative effects of these catastrophic ideas will bring. This is what the Marxist Democrat Hate America Party and the Green Movement in Europe believes, and it will destroy this nation as well as Europe. Unfortunately, it's too late for us. No amount of factual scientific information will derail the zealots. The canard of anthropogenic global warming has been inculcated into Western culture by the Marxist controlling educational system and reinforced by the equally Marxist mass media. There has to be a catastrophic failure of our economy to prove the useful idiots wrong. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, well, sure, it's an absolute accurate statement, and we could even call it, you know, an accurate assessment of where we're at. I mean, you've talked on your show before about what could be called a scientific illiteracy, but I just think in general amongst the population, it's not just a quote scientific illiteracy, it's just an ignorance in general. I mean, I really do think if you watched Idiocracy, and I believe you did, then you would know that it's an absolute fact. It's not just a funny movie, but it's more like a documentary. What? And that's indeed what has occurred, unfortunately. And so we don't have people that know the basic facts. And I proved this in the 2 years that I mentioned on many calls when I walked around and engaged people. Could they tell me what a virus was? Or could they tell me what the difference between a virus and a bacteria? Nobody offered an explanation. I talked to upwards of 40 to 50 individuals. I'm sure a larger sample size would have had similar results. And equally was the same thing with people getting shots. Multiple people I told not to get a shot and they got one. And one guy, my neighbor, a total dumb shit, he actually said to me, he goes, well, you know, everybody else was getting it. It's like, and this is a grown man in his 40s. And he actually said that to my face. Everybody else was getting it. I literally I told him to his face he was a moron, and I walked away. I walked across the street. We barely look at each other anymore. I mostly do not care, because the bottom line is, when you ask these people who have gotten a shot or are considering to get one, if you ask them, hey, what's in it and how does it work, and they can't answer you, well, if they still get one, then it's on them. Whatever happens to them, I mean, I had a person literally say to me, a woman, she goes, you know, I never really thought about it like that until you said this. And I'm looking at her, and she's a grown woman in her 50s. And all I said was, well, how does it work? What was in it? And she says, well, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, how could you not think about it like that? I mean, just total blind trust, you know? And anyway, you know where we're at. It's a mess. Only the strong should lead. The strongest and the most righteous should lead. And right now, we have the strong, no doubt about it. They're mean, they're ruthless, they're vicious, and they're stronger than us. And they're leading, and they have to be replaced. You know, we can't depend on the intelligence of the electorate. We can't depend on people, you know, knowing what to do. You know, basically, if you were in the Marine Corps, you know that most people were followers and not leaders. And if you lived your life long enough, you know that most people are followers and not leaders. And that's just the way it is. And so, therefore, the people that have leadership qualities and that are righteous and authentic people, they have to be strong enough to take away power from who it is wielding it right now. And that's why I've always said the things I've said about elections and so forth. I'm just a realist that way. I enjoy the hell out of your shows. I really do.
Well, I'm delighted you called in, Paul. You made a lot of excellent points. Would we had more time. Let me say, the Supreme Court has just issued two rulings about immigration that are not going to be welcomed by the Biden administration. They ruled against immigrants seeking their release from long periods of detention while they fight. In two courses decided, they said the immigrants have no right under federal law to a bond hearing at which they could argue for their freedom. They ruled 6-3 to limit immigrants' ability to band together in court. These are more positive developments. Thank you for calling, Paul. Thank you for calling. We'll be back later in the week on Wednesday. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones. We don't know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...